For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM The Fan, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you.
Whoop whoop.
And it's time to dive into some NFL football. There's only one team that is currently 0-3 in the NFL. That is the Tennessee Titans. But there are two teams that are playing tonight to avoid going 0-3. And if you put these up on the board to start the season, I don't think anyone would have had the Bengals or the Jaguars with the potential to go 0-3 to start the season.
No, but as Trevor Lawrence eloquently put it, we suck.
Also, the only three teams with the potential to go 0-3 in the AFC.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, interesting because the Carolina Panthers got a win because your Vegas Raiders rolled over and
show your belly, baby.
Absolutely got throttled.
Mm.
Andy Dalton, Red Rifle, let's go.
We'll talk about that too.
I don't know, but when you think about it, the top-end teams in the AFC obviously are far and above everybody else. Look at the lower end of the NFC, and the floor is a lot higher in the NFC than in the AFC when you look at some of the truly bad teams. Tennessee is one of those truly bad teams. And I don't think we thought this at the beginning of the year, that the NFC South would be mildly competitive, but it is. Mm-hmm. And I think Atlanta can still figure some stuff out.
I thought they should have won that game last night.
I thought they should have, too. And now we have the conspiracy theorists that the NFL is rigged. All they want is the Chiefs to win.
Blah, blah, blah.
Let's not do this. Can we just not? It was a bad call in the back of the end zone, P.I. It was P.I.
Yeah.
It was P.I. There's several opportunities where Atlanta could have capitalized at any other point during that game to make it not to where that call mattered.
I mean, you lose two starting linemen, all of a sudden Chris Jones is in your backfield every bleeping play, and that's what happens.
He is still really good at football.
Yeah, especially when he gets matched up against two backups.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that good? And
2 weeks in a row, that man is pointing and choosing at backups that are coming in and going, I'm going to murder you. And then he proceeds to murder them.
Seems like a good place to be.
So.
But the floor is a little bit higher in the NFC right now because we saw, again, when Daniel Jones looks competent, they win a football game. And I did not see that one coming with New York being...
Well, Malik Nabers turns out
dominant.
Really good.
Yeah, and the Browns...
Both those catches were bonkers.
Here it is in the AFC. Like, the Cleveland Browns are a joke right now.
Deshaun Watson has the worst EPA added, expected points added. Basically, it charts everything that a quarterback does. Run, throw, interceptions, completions, touchdowns, conversion rates. Like it's basically, I think, the best catch-all stat for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the lowest EPA for a Browns quarterback since 2000.
Seems bad.
Think about that. Like, you're the only quarterback you were excluding is Tim Couch. The only quarterback you were excluding from this list is Tim Couch in his first 2 years in the NFL. That's how bad Deshaun Watson has been.
Yeah, well, I see it. I'm looking at it.
I mean, it is atrocious. It is atrocious. And then you throw in, and there's injury reports coming out all over Cleveland. Myles Garrett has apparently had both of his feet repaired when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with injuries in both feet, and he might end up requiring surgery on both feet to repair it.
This is crazy how bad it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he's the Browns and still are, better than Micah Parsons.
Browns are an absolute mess right now.
No.
Jags, mess. Titans, mess. Denver, mess. Raiders, mess. I mean, New England.
Mess.
Dumpster fire. And when you look at in the NFC.
I would have thrown Baltimore in there if it wasn't for this weekend.
When you look at the NFC, though, you have the Giants are a mess. The Panthers are a mess. Outside of those two teams.
Cowboys are real close. Real close.
But they're still talented enough.
Yeah, I guess the talent is there. Yeah.
And that's like Cleveland, too, but Cleveland has a quarterback issue.
Yeah. Well,
you can get over a quarterback issue.
Who can't?
This drastic.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I saw Cowboys fans like, Dak's doing everything he can. And I'm just like, no, Brock Purdy was doing everything he can because everybody was dropping everything.
Well, hold on. Dak is still doing everything he can.
Just
that's never been the question.
Sure, but
it's not very good.
Yeah, I think there's a difference.
I mean, it's always where the ceiling is with him.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, there's your sign, Bill Engvall. There's your sign. And there it is with the Dallas Cowboys. But we talked about the 3-0 teams being surprising. I do think that when you look at both Cincinnati and Jacksonville especially, those are surprising 0-4 teams. And yeah. I think Jacksonville does fall to 0-3. I don't think Cincinnati loses tonight. But then again, I had no idea what was going to happen in a wildly drunk week of NFL.
Here's something interesting for you. It's still only 3 weeks, but looking at point differentials, the Indianapolis Colts are a -3, the Bengals are a -7, the Jags are a -8. You're basically saying every single one of their games in the aggregate is a one-score game.
That is how the NFL is built, though.
Yep, and I think that, you look at the bottom of the NFC, like the Giants are a -19, the Rams are a -34, the Panthers are a -46. Like, there's a sliding scale of crappy, you know, and the 0-3 start is the death knell.
Yeah.
You just can't. It's just too much round. It's too much ground to cover.
Yeah.
And you look at this and the Bengals, I think they have a fortunate schedule going forward, but they need to win tonight. Like they have to, you start out 0-3. It's like, I guess the flip side of that is the AFC North, with the exception of the Steelers, in which we kind of know what the Steelers are. They're going to win 9-10 games, and then they're going to struggle down the stretch.
You're damn right.
The Steelers getting out in front early kind of makes you go, but the Ravens have been cheeks. I mean, they've been bad. I mean, Dallas, after week one, it was like, oh, Dallas, top five team. I heard multiple national NFL writers and prognosticators say that. They are a bottom five team right now.
Right now they are.
They are awful.
They are not playing very good football. Well, they may not be bottom five just because of how bad the bottom is, but they're close.
Yeah.
They're in that conversation, and that's something that they didn't expect to see coming down the pipe.
And the Ravens, they completely redid their identity. They reverted back to 2004.
Yeah.
Where did you notice that? Do you want to talk about that? Lamar Jackson shit swap there? Because that going back to running the living hell out of the ball and Lamar Jackson being like the complimentary football player is quite different than MVP Lamar Jackson.
Yes, but I think that this is something that we will see. They need to feel out what life is like with Derrick Henry. And I talked about this last week in that.
They invested in Derrick Henry this week.
They look uncomfortable playing that style of you have to lean on Derrick Henry, you lean on Derrick Henry, and then he pops. And he wears you down.
That is
where you create your offense and explosiveness in your offense. But you have to be committed to leaning on that run game with Derrick Henry. I think as the season goes on, you have to start your season this way. Because you know what you have in Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. What has been the big issue is that when the rubber meets the road, when it comes playoff time, Lamar is too banged up because you run him too much.
And he's a guy who's lost 15 pounds. And you can see how smaller he is.
What has been the issue with the Tennessee Titans under Derrick Henry? You need to lean on him and ride him all season long, and then by the end of the year, he gets banged up.
He's banged up.
And you're limited.
Teams are, I mean, when you reach late season or playoff and it matters, teams just load up and say, your quarterback can't beat us.
John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens know that they can always go back to that Lamar game. and they can win because they are improved on the perimeter, and their defense will be okay as the season goes on. I'm not too incredibly worried about the fact that, what is it, they've given up the second most points in the AFC so far this season, the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too worried about it. I think they'll be all right. Their offense is going to morph as the season goes on, and we're going to see that MVP Lamar. It's about where they're at health-wise at the end of the year, and they know that Lamar can just flip that switch and go. He is playing complimentary football. He looks a little uncomfortable right now. The offense looks a little uncomfortable right now with the way they're operating. But now is the time where you can rev that diesel engine up, and by midpoint of the season, I don't think we're worried about the Baltimore
Ravens. By December.
No. But I don't think we're worried about the Baltimore Ravens at that point. But right now, it does. It looks disjointed. Yeah. It looks clunky in Baltimore. But at the same token, like you mentioned it, their point differential. They lost by 3. They lost by 7 to the defending Super Bowl champs. It's not like
the Bengals are they're right there.
Yeah, yeah. The Ravens.
Yes.
And this is their schedule.
Hell, the Bengals are in the same mode.
Their schedule's pretty damn tough, too, out the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, even with Dallas being in disarray, you had the Chiefs, the Raiders, which you're going to want to have that win back, Cowboys, Bills, Bengals. Like, a tough start to the year. They're going to be fine. Yeah. It's Baltimore.
Yeah, that Ravens-Bengals game is going to be for a lot of momentum.
I think the bigger issue is Justin Tucker not being able to just be automatic from 50
anymore.
Yeah,
three 50-yard misses already? Or no. He's had 3 total misses on the season. I think 2 were under 50.
He's been unbelievably reliable his entire career.
I'm not a Cowboys guy. Everybody knows that. But
Aubrey,
holy crap. That was good from 70 plus.
That
thing was nuts.
Part of their offense.
He hammered that thing.
Yeah. 65 yards, one off the record.
And it was a no-doubter.
He could have been good from another 10.
It was legitimately good from 70-plus.
Crazy.
I was blown away by how hard he kicked that ball. Yeah. I did not know that was possible. You want to talk some more NFL?
I always do.
Okay, let's talk some more NFL.
I want to talk more football.
The rookies, they rebounded in week number 3. We'll dive into that here coming up on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Top quarterback picks, Caleb Williams and Bo Nix in week number three, look like they know NFL offenses.
I think that what we saw is quarterbacks in offenses starting to adapt over across the board to stylistically what teams are doing. The teams that really struggled this week offensively were C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans against Brian Flores' defense. And I talked about this last week, right, with the Brock Purdy thing, where you said, man, you guys stumped us. You had us on your heels. Brian Flores is gambling in ways that you rarely see a defensive coordinator gamble in the National Football League. Like, they're showing zero, cover zero, which means you have nobody back, nobody free, and then rolling into cover two. And not just, like, cover two, but you're rolling into Tampa two, where you've got a linebacker on a slot receiver who is in a dead sprint, flip your hips, and going towards the middle of the field. You have a corner dropping all the way back to the deep half, an outside linebacker screaming outside to where it's like, it's chaos. Really hard to diagnose as a quarterback and as a wide receiver. But this is where those first three steps kind of come into play. Like, first three steps of a route, a receiver has to determine what coverage it is, mm-hmm. whether what you see is what you get, or they're rolling into something else. Flores is doing stuff that is just ballsy as all get out, first of all, because if a quarterback and a receiver are on the same page, and if the play call is right, they're toast.
They're getting broken.
But when you step up to the line of scrimmage, you're like, this looks like zero. And then you go, well, this looks like three or four, and it's whatever you're seeing is never it, and they are moving so much in Minnesota, it's wild. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to see more defense coordinators start to do it, but it takes a very disciplined defense to do it. So, but outside of, like, you know, Houston, which saw them grind to a halt,
mm-hmm.
you saw the Saints offense go from 91 points in 2 weeks to 12 mm-hmm. in week three. They came back down to earth. We did see scoring was up across the board in the NFL this week. This week,
and quarterback play was much improved this week across the board.
We still have two more games to play, and there's been 68 touchdowns. There was only, now that's still not a lot.
No,
but there was only 57 all of last week with all 32 teams playing,
with four more teams playing.
But with everybody settling in, you saw the rookies are as well.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams and Bo Nix played yesterday. We got Jaden Daniels tonight. But those two guys finally look like they were comfortable with the speed of the NFL.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time to do it. And both of them put up good numbers. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams threw two touchdowns. Hey, rookies finally got touchdowns on the board. Huh? All right. Bo Nix didn't throw any touchdowns, but he was way more efficient and he looked more comfortable. I just have questions. In the NFL, are you going to run Bo Nix that much? Because
look, Bo's a sturdy guy, but he's not that big.
He is, like, he can handle hits, but
you don't want
your quarterback to do that.
100%.
You're going to get killed in the NFL.
And Caleb had some really high highs, and he had some really bad lows. He had one pick that, I mean, one's a toss-up, but one is atrocious. He just throws it right to the defense. But there was
He did a Bo Nix, a drop back, and threw the ball to the other team.
Yeah. And the thing was, he finishes the game with a decent completion percentage, 363 yards, two touchdowns, two picks.
Their offensive line sucks.
He is getting drilled. He got sacked four more times. I thought he was better stepping up in the pocket. He had the one spin out where he did spin out and broke the defender's ankle and then made an absolutely dime of a throw down the middle of the field for the whole shot for the big gain. And I went, oh, that's good. But also, he thought Rome Odunze was going to hit a comeback once, and he just threw the ball to the comeback, and Rome was streaking up the sideline. Did not stop.
Rome Odunze showed up. But Turns out his dad, just sitting there on Twitter posting highlights of him wide open, got through to Caleb Williams.
And I think the big thing was that they were not on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think that they did, and they're still not 100% on the same page. The other part of this is DJ Moore has got to hold on to the damn ball.
Yep.
There's been some, I think Caleb's identified target one, which is Rome Odunze. I think target two is Cole Kmet. And Keenan Allen and DJ Moore are not doing Caleb any favors right now. Keenan Allen, I mean, can't get on the field. And DJ Moore is throwing fits after being having a little case of the dropsies.
Yeah, and that's a receiver. But I think like DJ Moore's bigger issue is that I don't think he trusts Caleb Williams still.
Yeah.
To make the right mm-hmm. read. Because
remember, he was the guy who wanted them to hold on to Justin Fields because he had a relationship with Fields.
But there's more to that in that with Caleb Williams, their offensive line isn't great, but mm-hmm. no offensive line is great when you have asked them to pass pro for 3 seconds.
No, no.
And what DJ Moore is he is precise and he is get open, where Rome Odunze has a little bit of that. He'll weave all over the place. Like, the frustration with DJ Moore is, I run my route, put the ball on me, dot me up. Like, I got open. You need to be able to throw in an NFL window. I thought that's something that we saw from Bo Nix yesterday, which is he was throwing NFL window type throws. There was one where the announcer's like, oh my God, how did he even complete that pass? Why would you throw that ball right there? Well, Bo Nix is wildly accurate, got the ball out quick, got the look that he wanted, and it was a good throw. Caleb Williams is still holding on to the ball for far too long.
Caleb Williams' throw time this week was 2.68, which is the exact same as Lamar Jackson and a hundredth of a second behind Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Middle of the pack. The fastest this week, guess who?
Justin Fields.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Andy
Two
Dalton,
seconds
rifle.
Flat.
Yeah. Get the ball out fast.
Nobody else came close. Like, the next jump is Patrick Mahomes at 2.46.
Yep.
So, I mean, but if you're looking at all of the tracking for when Caleb Williams did get the ball out faster than 2.5 seconds, his rating and grade was even higher. So,
get the ball out. Let your receivers, and that is just trusting that an NFL open receiver, it looks like a covered guy in college. You just got to let it rip. And you can't go through the second guessing. You just got to throw that damn ball. So, I mean, we'll see with Caleb Williams, man. Yeah. It was progress this week, though. Yeah.
And the same with Bo. You could just see things starting to slow down, but it's still, I'm really interested to see kind of where these guys are in going into year two.
Yeah.
Just the discussions that we've had about Bryce Young and like the position that he was in. I'm of the mind that Andy Dalton stepping in and just showing the vast, what was it, 1.5 point difference?
Mm-hmm.
They forgot a zero. They forgot a zero.
15? 15?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah. That's what happened. The difference, like, and yes, Andy Dalton's a veteran quarterback. Andy Dalton's washed. And he went, and the Raiders probably overlooked him. But that's not an excuse for the difference in play between Andy Dalton and Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, Bryce Young needs time. And Andy Dalton went out there with the same no weapons and the same beat-up offensive line and absolutely cooked.
And I loved what Dalton said after the game, though, which was, I just said, we're going to go have fun. We're going to go play free. Mm-hmm. There's no point in us getting down or beating ourselves up. And you can get that bump for a week or two. They'll come back down to earth.
I bet you he's still going to go out there. They'll still be bad. But I bet you they'll still go out there with Andy Dalton, the quarterback, and perform at like an average level.
Can that also show the difference between like how we're training quarterbacks today? Like, it feels like a lot of the young quarterbacks, I mean, even all the way back to Patrick Mahomes, like they get into the league and I can't idea Mike. I don't know where the blitz is coming from because they all come out of this air raid where, I mean, Andy Dalton isn't that much older than these guys.
Well, he's just seen everything.
You're what, 15 for him?
Right, but he went through in a time where it was more about progression through everything.
Concepts, yeah. No, that's what I was saying. I'm interested to see kind of where Bo and Caleb end up after a year, because Caleb and Bo's week one was, both of them were atrocious. The gains they've had already through 2 weeks have been pretty significant. And I'm just kind of wondering, what part of this is flash in the pan? What part of this is opponent? What part of this is game planning? What part of this is coordinator? You know what I mean? I'm very interested to see kind of where these guys, Bo and Caleb specifically, going into year two.
Yeah, I think with with Bryce Young especially, his, I don't think it's quite as severe as what you're saying, Will, because he has physical limitations too.
Fair.
And he also had, I keep going back to that report that's just wild to think about, where year one in the NFL, he had three different people telling him philosophically three different things in what their offense was supposed to do, what he was supposed to dissect in his first year. Nobody can be functional in that. And then you get Dave Canales coming in who wanted to just like build him back up. And after 2 weeks, they're like, yeah, no, we're done.
And that's the thing is, like, I think he might be so cooked. Like, I'm looking at his career numbers. He has played in 18 games where he has appeared. He has thrown for more than 200 yards in five games. Like, that's the thing is, like, I don't want to dogpile on the kid, but like, what's redemptive there?
Yeah. I think his receivers also gave up on him too, because
I think the same
Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen that we saw the first 2 weeks.
No, did you see the clip of Thielen last week going to the sideline pissed off at Bryce Young?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they quit on him too.
I think that kind of speaks to it. And you know this. Will, you know this too. When a guy doesn't have it, you can't fake the funk.
No.
You just can't. And I think the reason you saw his teammates rally the way that they did this week is because even though Andy Dalton's cooked, they know that he's a pro.
Yep.
That he's capable of going out there, and he's, quote-unquote, earned the right to take them out there.
Yeah, and look, the same thing happened with Sam Darnold in New York.
Mm-hmm.
His receivers, his team were just like, nope, the guy's seeing ghosts. We can't trust him. Yeah. We don't want him. You lose that favor very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Remember the 49ers when Brock Purdy came up? They're like, no, in camp. Remember Trent Williams is like, no, this kid has got it.
Yeah.
And that's how they went out with the last pick in the NFL draft going out there. You know, it's just those guys know.
Yep.
Those guys know.
And that doesn't mean that he can't get it. He needs to be somewhere else. So
yeah, he can't get it there.
He cannot be in Carolina. No. They need to trade him.
Yeah, Schefter reported that, you know, multiple teams are interested. I'm sure multiple teams are interested in giving up like a seventh round pick, because there's nobody giving up capital for him right now. Mm. His value is so fried that you'd be lucky to get a fourth round pick, I think.
You're not getting a fourth.
Like I'm dead serious. I think that would be the best offer you could get for him right now.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a player whose value has fallen off more in a shorter period of time.
No.
It's just brutal.
I don't know how high the value was at the beginning, though, because we heard this. All of the teams that were sitting there ahead of Carolina were like,
we weren't going to take him
anyways.
Yeah. It's, speaking of faking the funk, there were a bunch of franchises that fooled David Tepper into taking Bryce Young.
Mainly the Chicago Bears.
Hey, good for them.
Yep.
Hey, we might do it. Might do it.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, the Cougs. They cooged very hard until they didn't. We'll get to that and more coming over here. But first is Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update. Can you keep them in the dark for a while? Pac-12 After Dark cannot be killed.
No.
What is dead may never die.
Yep. And well, the Beavs killed it on Saturday night, because that could have had all the makings of a Pac-12 After Dark game. And then they just beat the brakes off of Purdue. Good win to bounce back for the Beavs.
Great win to bounce back for the Beavs.
Great win to bounce back for the Beavs.
And as the Beavs have since tweeted out, they lead the nation in time of possession.
Look at that. I think that Oregon game may have skewed it where they didn't have the ball, like, at all. That's where time of possession may have backfired.
It happens.
Yeah, but it Pac-12 so hard on Friday night, though.
Yeah, that game, so I'm sitting there, I'm watching the score, and I'm watching San Jose State pump up point after point after point after point. And then the third quarter happens, I'm going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
I tuned in to catch San Jose State score again, and I went, okay, what's going on in this here game?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was 46-38. No, it's 46-31. And then you get the answer. Where in the fourth quarter, Washington State and into overtime, you get 22, or no, in the fourth quarter, they get 22 points.
Yeah, outscored overtime. 22-8 in the fourth quarter. The John Mateer show
took over.
He's fun.
501 yards of total offense and five touchdowns.
I love that.
Threw the ball 46 times, ran it 18.
I love that for their fan base.
Oh, man.
I love it Herculean. For the Cougs, man. They needed this so badly. And look, it may just be a win over San Jose State, and people are like, meh, whatever. At least that was like a 3-0 team in San Jose State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did beat Kennesaw State and Sac State. But they had a win over Air Force, and they were riding a little bit of a high, and they thought they were going to catch Washington State.
And they've got a couple of dudes in Floyd Chalk and Nick Nash. Nick Nash was nasty.
Nick Nash is a dude. But they thought they were going to catch the Cougs on the chin after an Apple Cup win, that nobody thought the Cougs were going to go into Seattle, and they were going to beat Washington and Lumen Field. And they did that in, to be quite honest, at the beginning of the game, that looked like a Washington State team that was maybe sniffing their own farts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They turned it on. Now they're 4-0, and the Cougs are in a really good spot when you look at, they go to Boise State this weekend. That's going to be, this is where the Boise games.
25th ranked Boise State.
Yeah, how about
with the Cougs at 26. They are the top receiving votes team in the country.
And look, they can slide in if they get a win against Ashton Genty and company. Mm-hmm. And
Boise State needs that even more, because they can't have two losses.
Oh, no. 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 And but you look at it, all three of Oregon's wins, their only loss to their opponents are to Oregon. Idaho continues to be unbeaten. Boise State, also 3-1.
There you go.
Oregon State, 3-1. But Boise can't afford to have multiple losses. No. They just can't do it. And
losing to Oregon by a field goal on the road is not going to hurt your cause.
Can WSU afford to have more than one loss?
No, they can only afford one.
Can they even afford one?
No.
With that schedule?
They can't. They can't.
So they've got to win out. To make a playoff? Yeah, no, they have to win out.
Cougs have got to win out. Beavs have got to win all of their game. Well, I think Beavs are losing.
I want the Cougs to win out.
Beavs are out.
Is
that true? Because now Boise State won't host. That's unfortunate.
They'd go on the road, yeah, for sure.
It would be very cool to either get Boise or the Palouse in December with a home playoff game.
But yeah,
that would
sign me up.
Every
wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't happen. But every team in the country would be like, no,
not going.
So my choices are the Smurf Turf or Eastern Washington in late December. Nah, I'm good. I'm good, dog.
We got no counties on this.
Yeah. Oh God, that would be so good for college football.
Yep. But Cougs, you got two really big ones here, where they go on the road to Boise, on the road to Fresno State. Mm-hmm. And if they can get through that, then all they have left in front of them is Oregon State, because Hawaii is not good. San Diego State is not good. Utah State and New Mexico also not good. It all comes down to Oregon State on that Thanksgiving weekend. No, the week before Thanksgiving, I think, is when they play.
Mm.
And then after that, like, they got Wyoming and you're out. Like
Moose Island.
They've got two really big games with Boise and Fresno. If you can get through that, you're going to be and they have a bye after the Boise State game. So, like, you get some time to heal up. But that win over San Jose State, just survive, man. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just survive and hope John Mateer can stay upright for you. Because if he goes down,
he's so much fun.
You hosed.
Yeah.
And that bye week coming in between that Boise and Fresno game, huge for the Cougs. Absolutely massive. It comes at a really good spot in their schedule to where he can get healthy, then you kind of move forward. But I want the Cougs to go unbeaten. I'm saying it right now. I have very little faith that it does, because they do operate on the razor-thin margins of the portal taking depth. But I want it so badly.
Mateer's listed at 6'1", 220. He plays so much bigger.
Yeah.
He just plays so much bigger. Did you see the post-game interview with him where the whole crowd behind him was cheering and kind of acted a fool? And
it's Washington State.
Well, yeah. But
what people in Pullman do.
He turns around and was like, you could just, the gravitas he has, even with the students, he was like, hey, guys, chill.
He's like a dad.
Yeah. And everyone just kind of locked up and like let him do his interview. And it was like, oh, this guy's already just a campus legend.
I love him.
And it was just, it was very cool.
Different than Gardner Minshew, who's like, yeah, let's party.
Who's
let's
like,
go.
You know, cracking some Keystone on the camera.
You're damn right.
But, you know, I think Mateer is probably doing all right on the NIL.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there we go.
It's fun. It's a fun little spot to be. All right. Fun spot you don't, or a spot you don't want to be, apparently, is in Antonio Pierce's crosshairs.
Oh.
Yikes. The Raiders lose to the Panthers, but they might have lost more than that. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. The Las Vegas Raiders get absolutely boat raced by the, well, doormat of the NFL and the Carolina Panthers. The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, absolutely.
I think Red Rocket, something else.
Something on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, I think the Red Rocket is not a quarterback in the NFL, buddy.
Yeah, give it time. maybe get a Red Rocket after you beat the Raiders the way that the Panthers did. Andy Dalton throws for 319, three touchdowns, carves up the Raiders, YOLOs all over the field. The Raiders rolled over and showed their belly, and Antonio Pierce was livid in the post-game press conference.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions and will make business decisions going forward as well.
Yikes.
Ooh, doggy. It doesn't take much to figure out.
You said that you were happy with that outcome of that game.
Oh, yeah, loose.
I hear
loose.
That and I go, B, I don't know if I'm too happy without that.
Well, look, I don't want it to necessarily go that way, but the lose every game.
Well, I know he's talking about two guys
in particular.
In particular. One of
both
them
on the edge.
Being Jack Jones, mm-hmm. the corner.
And the other one being Davante Adams.
Davante Adams throwing a tissy fit on the sideline. Not good, Bob.
No.
And they yanked his ass, and they parked it on the bench.
Yep.
And now I get an email from Jimmy Shapiro from betonline.ag. It is titled, Davante Adams Trade Odds for 31 Teams. Leading the way, the New York Jets, 1-3.
Yeah.
Reunite him with Aaron Rodgers.
That means, sure, Jets would probably have something nice to give back, and I'll go down that road. If I was a betting man, I'd probably go with the New Orleans Saints. Reunite him with Derek Carr, who's if not his best friend.
They're not even top five. The next is the Kansas City Chiefs at 4-1, which
0% chance.
Highly doubt they would ever
trade in division.
Trade within the division.
No.
Then the Baltimore Ravens 5-1, Buffalo Bills 6-1. Those seem far fetched in that why would the Raiders try to help an AFC team?
I can see the Bills just because they're on the other side of the country.
Then the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe you do that one because you think quarterback's bad?
Yeah.
All right. And then the New Orleans Saints at 10-1 odds.
Yeah. That's where I would end up going. It feels like that's the landing spot that makes sense. I could see the Bills.
Yeah.
I could see the Bills, but I just don't know what capital they have there.
It seems like he's destined for an NFC team.
That's kind of where I end up with this. It is beyond me to see Mark Davis trading Davante Adams to the Chiefs.
Who has the capital, aside from the Saints, to really go and get him that would also need him in the NFC? Like, it's not going to be Seattle. It's not going to be Minnesota. It's not going to be the 49ers.
Like, that's what I'm saying. New Orleans makes a ton of sense.
Like, aside from New Orleans, who could really even go after him? Unless you're willing to part with a young receiver that you think is good? Like, what, Atlanta? It's like, hey, we're going to pass on Drake London.
Oh, they wouldn't. I don't think they'd pass on him. If anything, they'd probably try to move off Pitts.
Pitts wouldn't do it because they already have their tight end.
Now, here's the problem with the Saints, though.
Where are they at cap-wise?
Who do they trade?
They're not going to get rid of Chris Olave.
No, because you're trying to pair him with Olave and Kamara.
Shahid's not going to get it done.
No.
I think it becomes about draft capital.
And they have their picks moving forward, mm-hmm. but they need to hold on to their draft picks because they traded a second rounder this past year to Denver as part of the Sean Payton deal.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you're sitting there and you're looking at it going, can they afford to go and get back up against the salary cap? Because Davante Adams has two more years left on his deal. Although there is an out after this season, but you're not going to give up a bunch of capital for a guy that you're going to cut.
Found a great landing spot for him.
Can the New Orleans Saints afford to have $35 million in a wide receiver over the next 2 years. And that's
if you think you can really compete, then yeah. And that's the question. Do you think you can really compete?
Boy, I don't think they probably should feel like they can really compete.
Probably not.
Oh, coming into next year, the New Orleans Saints have minus $96 million to spend. They have the least amount of cap space in the entire National Football League.
No, well,
they're the perfect
not.
Team for them.
We've seen them kick the can down the road.
Yeah, they've been
year
magical
after
about
year
it.
After year. I could see, and this is kind of just spitballing here, I could see the Tennessee Titans.
Talking
ton of cap,
yeah.
Ton of cap space, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and you go, we're going to roll it back like it's 2020. And we're going to have Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins paired up side by side. But they suck.
There you go.
And that would work for the Raiders, too. I was about to call them Oakland. Mm. That would work for Vegas, too, because it's a team that's not vying for a Super Bowl championship either. And you're like, go ahead. Good luck with Will Levis. But there are not a whole lot of teams that truly make sense in this, because we know Washington doesn't want to give up capital to get an elite receiver because they didn't do it for Brandon Ayuk.
Mm. And look, Devontae's probably better than Ayuk. Well, he is better than Ayuk right now, but what does that look like in 18 months?
Where are we sitting on the Arizona Cardinals in all this?
Be a cheeky spot to land.
Yeah, but Marvin Harrison.
Don't they owe cap, or do they owe picks for the...
They have the third most cap space.
No, don't they owe a pick for the GM stuff?
Maybe. Yeah, but I don't think that is a high pick.
I know it wouldn't work, but the perfect spot would be Green Bay. They have a young quarterback.
They don't have a true
number one. They have the cap space.
This might work.
LaFleur might actually have to admit that he was wrong.
He could teach a young, budding star wide receiver and another one who looks like he could be a pretty good two.
No, they have all their own picks. The Cardinals do?
Okay.
Yep.
That's a sneaky one.
Yeah, that could be very sneaky.
Short relocation, too.
Just
Vegas or Arizona?
You
don't
need
to
fly. Yeah. You just put him in the U-Haul.
Hey, U-Haul that one.
Let him go.
It's only a couple-hour drive. Any bad. Good work, everybody. Coming out of press conference today, to Sean Reed from The Athletic, who covers the Raiders. As expected, Pierce didn't explicitly name any players when asked about the comment, but that some players made business decisions against the Panthers. That'll be handled in team meetings, and we'll see the results this week.
Oh.
In other words, you're going to see some depth chart changes.
Yeah.
Yikes, dog.
Yeah, that's not good, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not.
And now they're saying that they're going to bench, like, Gardner Minshew for Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. He came out of the field late and whatever. As we wrap up today's show, pay attention to my Twitter account tonight.
Yeah.
Towards the end of Monday Night Football tonight, I might have some news that you might find important.
All right. Towards the end of Monday Night Football.
Towards the end of Monday Night Football.
At Danny Meringue.
And then shortly following that, flip over to Jack Ramsey's Live on YouTube, youtube.com/Danny Meringue, where Trailblazers reporter Casey Holdall will join me for a live special edition of Jack Ramsey's.
All right. Okay. So, let's see. Near the end of Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. Jody Allen's moving the Seahawks to Portland.
There you go. Hum, babe.
Is that it?
Hum, babe.
Is that it? Can I guess?
That'll do it.
Has to be football related? No?
Mm.
All right. Tickle me intrigued. Tickle me intrigued. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Got a special guest tomorrow, too, which you'll find out about tonight on Danny's Twitter account.
Indeed.
All right. Bye, everybody. Up next, 4 hours of power from there. Mouth to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.